The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
And consequently, Jerry and I were just having a conversation that we were just saying how most of our conversations end with the word never mind, which tells you a lot about, you know, what we have to say to each other. So we'll start this detailed conversation and be like, hey man, this and this and this and this. Oh, never mind. And it's the end of the conversation. And we were just commenting on the fact that we really don't have it that together in order to, you know, have like a normal conversation. But anyway, just like every one of us, we all fail, we all struggle, we all mess up. Please don't assume that your pastors are the only ones that make big mistakes. So you guys got to at some point say, admit that some fault here too, right? It's not just us. It's we need somewhere to blame. When you do something wrong, when something goes wrong, and you just look around to see who you can blame besides yourself, like something falls, you're like, who did that? You know, you're looking around, you're like, oh, that was me. Sometimes you do something wrong and you don't even realize it was you, and then you find out later it was you, and you've got to go and admit and tell people that, hey, that was me, that was my bad. Those are terrible, terrible situations, but they happen so often to us. It's like we can't avoid making mistakes. We can't avoid failing at times. And so this series, I think, is good for us because we're human, because together we make up this this group of, you know, losers. I mean, we don't win enough to say that we're winners, so we kind of went with the definition of losers because it describes the majority of the time what's going on in our lives, okay? Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you're like winning all the time. Maybe you're like Charlie Sheen, right? Winning all the time, but if I'm going to be completely honest with you guys about who I am and the life that I live, I'll just say that I make mistakes on a daily basis. And if you have any questions about that, you can just refer to my wife, and she will make sure and agree with that. She's good at sometimes pointing those things out, but wives are good for that, I believe. Yes. So we mess up. We all mess up. We make mistakes, and so that's what our Loser Series is all about. It's like, how do we redeem those moments where we just really stink, right? We really messed up big time. And how, what do we do when we're in those situations? And this morning especially, I'm thinking about this idea of I've tried everything. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but full disclosure here, I want to raise my hand because there have been days where I would honestly say I've tried everything and nothing is working. Anybody else experience that? I mean, you're just like, I've tried it all. I'm at the end of my rope and absolutely nothing is working. So if that's you, if you can resonate with that, then today is for you. This message is for you. I think if we're honest, we can all say that that's us at some point or another. Maybe you're like going through like a good time right now, and you're just like, don't mess it up for me, man. It's smooth sailing right now, so don't say anything to mess it up. We got to be prepared, though, for those moments when we really screw things up, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. So what is that like for you and for me when we can say, I've tried everything and nothing seems to work, okay? So we're going to jump into a story today that's going to kind of give us some tips on what we can do and some direction that we can go when we're in that place. So let me pray, ask God to bless his word today, and we'll jump into our passage. It's not a long passage today, so which is nice, so we'll read the story and find out what God has for us. Sound good? Father, thank you that you are here with us. God, whenever we gather together to glorify, lift up your name, Father, we know that your presence is here, God, and you are ready to teach us. You're ready to show us things about ourselves that we need to know and things about yourself, God, because when we see you clearer, we see ourselves clearer, and we know the steps that we need to take to be more like you. And so, God, would you make that clear to us today? And Father, we are all human. We all make mistakes. We all have these moments in our lives where we are failing miserably. And so, God, today as we look at this idea of we feel like we've exhausted all our resources, we've tried everything, and what do we do? Where do we go from there, God? Would you just speak to our hearts and our lives today through your word? And I pray that my words would be yours this morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to jump into this story. It's from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5. So if your Bibles, you can flip over to Luke chapter 5, and we'll have it up there on the screen for you as well. But I always encourage you to open your Bible so you can see exactly where it is, we're at, and what we're talking about. So cool story today. We're going to read it, and then I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of a picture of what's going on here. So Luke chapter 5, looking at verses 1 through 11. It says, "One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.'" Okay, pause there for a moment. Get the picture here. Jesus is speaking to a great crowd of people. He wants them to be able to hear them a little clearer, and they're kind of crowding in on him. And so he's like, if I go out on the water a little ways where my voice will carry, then I can speak to this larger crowd. And so he borrows this fisherman's boat. It's interesting when you look at the life of Jesus as he goes through and he meets and interacts with people. It seems like Jesus is always borrowing something from someone, right? It's like borrowing a donkey, right? Borrowing a boat, borrowing some bread and some fish. It's like Jesus is always, people are coming along and saying, "Jesus, here, this is all I got, but you know, here, go for it. I think you can use it." And so the situation's the same. Jesus asked this fisherman, "Can I use your boat to go out on the water and do this?" And the fisherman, the reason that he's not reluctant in any way to let Jesus use his boat is because he's done. He's been fishing all night. He is finished. He's done. Matter of fact, they are in the process of cleaning up their equipment, washing their nets. Their work day is finished. And so they're getting ready to go home. So they're like, no problem. Knock it out. Now, when Jesus is finished speaking, he tells this man, this fisherman, he says, "Hey, go out in your boat again and go out to where the water's a little deeper and cast your net out there and you'll catch some fish." Okay, mind you, this fisherman was listening to Jesus the entire time he was speaking, okay? I believe there was something that Jesus said that gave authority to his instructions to this man to go out and throw his net out again. You'll see. So he says, "Go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing." There it is, guys. I've tried everything. "We've been on the lake all night long, and we have not caught anything. We have gone up and down." This actually sounds like one of my fishing trips. It actually sounds like a lot of my fishing trips. I've tried everything, you know. I've tried every type of bait, every type of lure. Nothing, nothing's happening. I'm not catching anything, okay? This is the point this guy's out. The only difference between Simon and myself is that I'm fishing for fun and for leisure. He's fishing for a living. This is like how he made his money. So if he doesn't catch fish, he doesn't feed his family. See the difference there? If I don't catch fish, my pride's hurt a little bit, right? But I'll survive because I can just go get a hamburger. Okay. So Master, Simon replied, "We worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. The nets themselves couldn't contain all of the fish. And a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. Soon, both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. I mean, this is a major catch for these guys. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please forgive me, or please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." So he's like, "I don't even deserve to be in your presence." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. Verse 10, His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were all amazed. Jesus replied to Simon and said, "From now on, you will bring in people instead of fish." You may have heard this story before, and the version you heard said, "I will make you a fisher of men instead of a fisher of fish." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. I love this story because here is three fishermen, three guys who were supposed to be good at what they do, and they're failing miserably. They've tried everything until Jesus steps into the picture, and all of a sudden, the game changes. So we find ourselves in a similar situation when, by our own efforts, we have tried everything. We've exhausted all our resources because we have done everything that we can possibly think of to do in our situation. And it may not be something like fishing. It may be a relationship in your life. It may be a job search that's going on right now. It might be a situation in your family that your family has struggled with for years. It could be your car's not starting. It could be that there could be 100 different things that are happening in your life right now, and you feel like you've tried everything and none of it is working. So this is what happens. I want you to notice the first thing that this fisherman does. First thing he does is he takes God at his word. We need to take God at his word. Look at what happens in verse 4. It says, "When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish.'" Now, I want you to think about this situation for a moment because Jesus was not an unfamiliar person to this community. They kind of knew who Jesus was and where he came from. There's several instances where people made comments on who he was and where he came from. So they knew that this guy, Jesus, was not a fisherman. He was a carpenter's son. And so imagine this. You're a fisherman. You do this for a living. You've been trained by your father. Your father was trained by your grandfather. I mean, it's been in the family for years. You know all the ins and outs of fishing. You know everything about it. It is your thing that you do. And then a carpenter comes along and says, "Hey, man, let me give you some fishing tips." How are you going to react to that? My first thought is for Simon Peter to say, "Okay, all right, we'll try it your way." There's one or two things that are happening here. Either Peter is saying to Jesus, "I'll give it a shot." Or Jesus said something when he was standing in Simon's boat, preaching to the crowds. There was something about what Jesus said that made Simon realize, this guy knows a little more about life than I do. I think that's probably the case, because he doesn't really hesitate here. And here's the thing that I think for us we need to understand, because when we find that we're really good at something, when we do something really well, it's really hard for us to take people's advice. Am I right? If you're really good at something, or at least you think you're really good at something, and someone else comes along and says, "Hey, let me tell you a better way to do that," what is your first reaction? Your pride kind of wells up inside of you, and you're just like, no. You can't tell me how to do this because I'm the professional in this area, right? The most difficult place to trust God is in our own area of expertise. But even there, God requires our unquestioning obedience. So here's the deal. Simon Peter is a fisherman. This is what he does. Jesus comes along and says, "Simon, I know this is what you're good at. I know this is your area of expertise, but I need you to listen to me." And Simon does. This is something that is so hard for us because when we're good at something, when we think we know what we're doing, when we think we've got it down, that's like the area of our life that we don't want anybody to touch, and especially not God. We don't want God coming in and saying, "This is where you're doing really good. This is the type of thing that you're good at. Let me step in." That we resist that at all costs. It is very difficult for God to make changes in our lives in the areas that we think we're pretty good at. Does that make sense to you? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've experienced that before. You've resisted God's help in areas that you think you got under control. And before long, you realize you don't know what you're doing and life is out of control. That's what happens. have a video that kind of illustrates that. You know, you have your project and you're working on it. You know what you're doing, right? And then it becomes pretty obvious that you don't.
This is either going to work or it's not.
You can tell it's bad already. Okay, so I have a guilty confession to I love fail videos. Okay, I mean I could sit and watch fail videos all day, and someone brilliant came along and was like, "Let's do like fail compilation videos," and we're just like, "Yes, put them all together in the same spot so we can just sit there and laugh at other people's pain, right?" And so we have fail videos, and they're a lot of fun. And the reason that they're so much fun is because a lot of times we can see ourselves or someone close to us, right, in that kind of situation. Maybe we've experienced things like that. Has something like that happened to you before? And you're like, I wish I would have got that on film. I would probably be a millionaire right now if I would have got that on film. So we think we're really good at something. We think we got it handled. Maybe it's our area of expertise. And God steps in and says, you know what? This might just be the place where you need the most help. And I believe that. I believe that the places where our pride swells up, where we feel like this is the area that we have in control in our lives, I believe that that's the place that sometimes we need the most help from God. And so Simon Peter says, okay, let's do this. Look what it says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. I love this. It says, with all your heart, you must trust the Lord and not your own judgment. Always let him lead you, and he will clear the road for you to follow. Don't ever think that you are wise enough, but respect the Lord and stay away from evil. What is God telling us here? God is saying, trust me, because I'm not going to fail you. Even in the places where you think it's smooth sailing, where you think you're good at it, no, you need to trust me. Because a lot of the times, the places that we're really good, the things that we're really good at, we have so much invested in that, that when that fails, it crushes us. When something goes wrong in that area of our lives, because our identity is all wrapped up in that, when something goes wrong with that, it's like our whole world comes crashing down. That's why I believe that's such an important thing for God to step into our lives in those places, in those moments. So look what happens in verse 5. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and we didn't catch a thing. I mean, this is his. It's almost like he's saying, I'm going to do this, but the little, disclaimer, right before I actually do this, I just want you to know, we've been doing this all night, okay? And we didn't catch a single thing. And I believe there's something we can learn here, because the deal is, it's not about how much effort you give to God, it's about how obedient you are to him. Because you could do a lot of stuff for God. You could run around and do a lot of kingdom work, right? But if you're not being obedient to God, if you are not following God in your personal walk with him, that doesn't mean anything. None of that means anything. As a matter of fact, that's stated in the Bible in 1 Samuel 15:22. It says, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering. Understand what God is communicating to us. He's saying, you can do a lot of good stuff, you can offer me your very best, but if you are not being obedient to me, it doesn't mean anything to me. Your obedience is way more important to God than you being good at something. Your obedience is way, way more important to God than something that you do well. Is everybody with me? All right, let's look at verses 5 and 6. Simon finishes his sentence. He says, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, the nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. What's God teaching us through this? That we need to trust that God knows better. Trust that God knows better. Sometimes we think we have all the answers. In fact, most of the time, we think that we have all the answers. But we need to grab a hold of this reality that God always knows better. God always knows more about your situation than you do. God knows more about the solution than you do. God knows more about the problem than you do. Let's just face it, you don't know anything when you compare it to what God knows about your situation. God always knows better. And here's the thing. God loves us way too much to give us what we want rather than what we need. Because sometimes, most of the time, we know exactly what we want. Am I right? For the most part, we can probably describe exactly what we want. If I were to go to you and I would say, okay, name three things right now that you want the most in life, I am pretty sure, without hesitation, you could name those three things. But if I were to go to you and say, what are the three things that you need the most in life? I guarantee you it would take a little bit longer for you to come up with that list. Why is that? Because we know what we desire. We know what we want, but we don't always know what we need. And God loves us way too much to give us what we want. Instead, God will always give you what you need. That's important for us to recognize. The Bible tells us in Luke 12:31, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Here's the answer to our problems, because when we don't know what we need, God is saying, you need to seek me. You need to put the things that are important to me first. You need to begin to put the kingdom of God before your own personal kingdom. And then the things that you truly need, God is going to supply. God will supply your needs if you put him first in your life. By the way, that is not easy to do. I don't want to just lay that out for you and say, hey, this is the formula. It's simple. All you got to do is do these three steps. Okay, because I know when I say that we need to seek God with all our hearts, minds, and souls, that is the most difficult thing that you'll ever do in life. Matter of fact, it'll take you an entire lifetime to get that right. It'll take you an entire lifetime. And after spending an entire lifetime trying to seek God with all your heart and get that right, you'll still be lacking. You'll still be missing in some areas. Look at verses 8 and 9. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. Understand what just happened in Simon's mind, okay? You would think that after working all day, after fishing all night and putting all this effort into it, that the first reaction that Peter would have when he catches all this fish is to jump up and down for joy. But he recognized something. He realized that it was because of Jesus that he was able to bring in that massive catch of fish. He realized that it was Jesus that did that. It wasn't him that did that. What was his proof? The evidence was he had spent his entire night fishing and hadn't caught a single thing. And then Jesus just says, go over there and do it. And it happens. So all of a sudden, he has no choice but to give Jesus all the glory. And when he's standing face to face with Jesus in all his glory, Peter begins to recognize who he really is. And that's the same thing for us. When we're face to face with God in all his glory, we realize how small we are. We realize how insignificant we are. We realize really how small a role we play in this thing called life. And so Peter, he's like, I don't even deserve to be in your presence, Jesus. See, here's the thing. Before you can put your confidence in God's capability, you have to admit your inability. Before you can put your confidence in God's ability, you have to admit that you are unable. And Peter recognized this. He's like, you know what? This may be what I do for a living, but I'm nothing compared to Jesus. This may be what I think I'm good at, but compared to God, I'm not good at anything. That is a healthy attitude to have. Imagine how different your life would be if you lived your life that way. If you said to yourself, God is better at me than this. God knows more about this situation than I do. If every single day we would tell ourselves that, you know what would happen to us? We would become dependent upon God. Because admitting our inabilities, that opens up a world of possibilities for us to trust God. Now all of a sudden, we're taking the focus off ourselves, our trust in ourselves, doing things in our own strength. All of a sudden, we're shifting our focus and we're saying, God, I need you to do this because I cannot do this. I've tried everything. I can't do this. I need to start to trust you. And I believe that's what was happening in Simon's heart. And the Bible tells us over and over again, this is the attitude that we need to take. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Does that sound familiar? I have the desire to do what's right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. In other words, I want to do the right thing, but I'm just not capable of doing it. I need some help. Have you experienced that in your life? I want to do the right thing, but I just can't. So I'm looking at the video on YouTube, the compilation of fails, and I come across this great one right here. Oh, he's going to help him out. Don't worry. He had the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. My friends, that's us. That's the way we are. It's like, I know the right thing to do. I know what I need to do to make this right. But then we foul it up again, right? Because we can't do it. We can't do it. What's the point of this scripture? The point is that if we don't do it in God's strength, if we don't trust God and we don't say, God, you need to do this thing for me, because if I try to do it, it's going to look something like that. If I try to do it in my own strength, I'm going to mess things up. And so we have to trust God. We have to trust in him. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases him. Get that? So God is producing in you the desire, the want to, but also he's supplying the ability to do it. We have to trust God. We have to let God be the one that does it in us and through us. Let's look back at our story. Verse 10, Jesus replied to Simon, from now on, you will bring in people instead of fish. From now on, Simon, instead of casting your net out there and catching fish, you're going to come with me. We're going to cast our net out and we're going to catch people's hearts. We're going to capture people for God's kingdom. That's what he's telling him. And then verse 11, and as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. They left everything and followed Jesus. We don't realize the significance of that statement where it says, they left everything and followed Jesus. Three guys, three fishermen, family business. This is what they've done their whole life. This is what they're planning on doing. This is what they're planning on having their kids do. I mean, they are pretty entrenched in this industry of fishing. And it says they left everything and they followed Jesus. Even after that great catch of fish, I mean, you would think that these guys would be like, you know what? We caught the more fish than we've ever caught in our entire life. Jesus, no way are we leaving this business. We're just getting good at this, right? But no, they recognized who did it. They recognized that it was Jesus that did it. And so they said, if you're going to give me success in this area of my life, if I follow you, you're going to keep doing that for me over and over again. And that's the same attitude we need to have. We need to recognize that if we keep following after Jesus, he's going to keep doing that for us over and over again, because that's God's track record. God is trustworthy. We can always depend upon him, and he's never going to fail us. So what's happening here? They're leaving their plans behind. And I believe God is urging us to leave our plans behind. Leave your plans behind. Here's the thing. We cannot answer God's invitation to follow his plan without letting go of our own. It's like we can't follow God's plan and say, God, I'm just going to bring along my plan as well, right? God's like, no, it doesn't work like that. If you're going to follow my plan, you have to abandon your own plan. These fishermen couldn't have told Jesus, hey, Jesus, I mean, we're going to follow you. We're going to do everything you talked about. But guess what? We want to fish too. We're going to do the fishing on the side. Jesus is like, no, this is all in. If you say yes to this, if you say yes to following Jesus, you're saying no to everything else. That's what's happening here. Matter of fact, Jesus describes this. Matthew 16:24, Jesus says to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. He says, if you want to be my follower, you need to let go of everything that you want to do. And you need to fully embrace me. That's what Jesus is calling each one of us to do. And talking to a fisherman there on the shore of that lake, two boats full of fish, and he says, follow me, you guys. And they abandon everything. They leave everything there. I'm like, who's going to clean all that fish, right? They left everything. They left everything and they followed after Jesus. You know what? For us, it's not a question of what is God calling me to, but what is God asking me to leave behind? It's not a question of, God, where are you sending me? It's a question of, God, what are you asking me to leave behind? Because when Jesus told these guys to follow him, he didn't give them instructions. He didn't like say, hey guys, I got this 10-point plan here. I want you to check it out, show you exactly what we're going to do, you know. Tell me what you think about it. Think about it for a little while, and I'll come back and check on you guys, see if this is what you want to do. No, he didn't say that at all. He said, follow me. He didn't tell them where they were going. He didn't say, we are going to spend the next 3 years going into strange places and talking to people that we don't know and doing miracles and impacting people's lives. And then at the end of all that, they're going to murder me. And then you guys are going to all scatter. You're going to be scared. And then I'm going to come back. And you guys are going to take over the entire world. He didn't tell them all that. He didn't give them his plan. All he did was say, I want you to follow me. And Jesus is not going to lay out the plan before you. He's not going to tell you everything that's going to happen in your life. You know why? If Jesus told you everything that was going to happen, he would be asking you to trust the plan. He doesn't ask us to trust the plan. He asks us to trust him. He could show us. He could tell us exactly what's going to happen in our life. He could present every solution for us for every problem, every issue we ever face. But he doesn't do that. Why? Because he wants us to trust him. He doesn't want us to trust the plan. As a matter of fact, Jesus is saying, abandon the plan. Throw the plan out. Follow me. I'm not going to fail you. That's what trust is. Trust is being fully and completely dependent upon God. You know, Jesus was approached by a young man. The Bible calls this man a rich young ruler, a guy who had wealth, he had his youth, he had authority, and he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, or Master, you know, how can I be a part of your kingdom? What can I do to be a part of your kingdom? I want a part of this. I want to be in this with you. And look what Jesus tells him in Mark 10, starting verse 21. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. So notice something. First it says, Jesus looks at this guy and he loves him. And out of his love for him, Jesus tells him exactly what he needs to do if he wants to follow him. Jesus looks at us, he looks at our lives, and he loves us like no one else loves us. And because he loves us so much, he says, I want you to do what I say. I want you to obey me because it's the best plan for your life. And he tells the same thing to this guy. But you know what? It's not what this guy wanted to hear. Maybe this guy was thinking, Jesus, how can you use all my wealth? How can you use all my authority that I have? How can you use me? I mean, look at me, I'm young, I'm strong. How can you use this? And Jesus is telling this guy, it's not about what you have to offer me. It's about you. It's about your relationship with me. And he says the same thing to us. It's not about what we have to offer God. It's not about what we're good at. It's not about the possessions that we have. It's not about our accomplishments. It's about our relationship with Jesus and our obedience to him. Look what it says. It says, but at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. So he hears what Jesus says he needs to do, and he's like, it's not for me. He's bummed out. But the reason he's so upset is because the choice that he has to make is either abandon my own plans and follow Jesus, or keep all that cool stuff and keep going the way I'm going. And God's given us the same choice. But let me tell you this. In my opinion, God makes it pretty easy on us, okay? Because when I come to God and I say, God, I need you, I'm not coming with my wealth. I'm not coming with my authority. I'm not coming with my youth, right? I mean, it's like I come to God and I'm like, God, I don't have anything at all to offer you. I don't have money. I don't have fame. I don't have popularity. I don't have any of that stuff, right? And if you're like me, you come to God and you're like, God, I don't have anything to offer you. But isn't it crazy? It's almost the definition of insane that we would still choose what we have instead of what God has for us. When we've got nothing, we still would say no to Jesus. And you know what my prayer for each one and every one of you guys is? That you would say yes to Jesus. That you would say, I want to follow you. And if that means letting go of all the stuff that I have, if that means leaving everything behind, I don't care. That stuff is not as important to me as living for you. That's the attitude that God is inviting us into. And let me just say this. If you're experiencing this, I've tried everything moment in your life, if you're in that situation where you're just like, I've tried everything and nothing works, let me just say this. I'm going to be brutally honest with you and say, you have not tried God's way. If you're in that place in your life right now where you're saying, I've tried everything and it's just not working, the honest answer is you have not tried God's way. Maybe you think you've tried it God's way. Maybe you've like thrown God a bone. Maybe you've said, okay, God, I'll try this for a little while and see what happens. We do that sometimes. We test God. You know, it's like, God, the situation is really bad. And God's like, well, come to me, trust me. And we're like, okay, God, I'll do that for 5 minutes. And if my situation doesn't get any better, I'm going to go back and I'm going to try something else. That's how we are. And what is God calling us to do? He's calling us to trust him completely. He's saying, abandon all of your plans, burn all of those bridges, and then come and follow me. And if we do that, we're going to get it right. When we do that, life is going to start to make sense. When we do that, our problems are going to disappear. And I'm not saying that life is going to be easy. We're never going to run into any kind of trouble. We're not going to have any struggles. That's not what I'm saying. I don't want you to be confused. But what I am saying is that when we're obedient to Jesus, Jesus is with us in those problems. And having Jesus with you in your problems makes all the difference. The difference between you going through the struggle on your own and you taking God with you makes all the difference. And I don't know what it is in your life. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with. But I just know it's not just a series. When we say loser, I mean, that's just who we are. Those are the places we find ourselves, losing. And when you find that you've tried everything and it doesn't work, I encourage you to take a lesson from a fisherman who had tried everything. And then he listened to Jesus. And then he said, I'm going to do it your way, Jesus. And then Jesus rocked his world. Jesus turned his world upside down. As a matter of fact, all of a sudden, fishing wasn't even important to him anymore. You want the issue that you're struggling with, the pain that you're going through, to no longer be the focus of your life, to no longer be the thing that you're all wrapped up in? You need to put your attention on Jesus. Jesus will help you abandon all of that and follow him. You've got to give it a try. And by give it a try, I mean you have to do it. We don't have a choice. If we're going to call ourselves followers of Jesus, this is what we have to do. And so I want you to ask you to do something today. I want to just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. And I want to ask you to consider just a couple of things. One, I want you to consider whatever it is you're struggling with. And I know because we're all human, we are all struggling with something at this moment in our lives. I want you to think about that thing, and I want you to ask yourself, is this thing that I'm struggling with, is it so important in my life that I can't listen to Jesus? Ask yourself, have I tried everything on my own apart from Jesus? And now I encourage you to ask Jesus to give you direction. Now I encourage you to say to Jesus, I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm ready to do it your way. Because when I continue to do it my way, I get hurt. I get disappointed. I get disillusioned. I get my heart broken. I end up in a deeper pit than I started out. That's what happens when I do it my way. And so, Jesus, I want to do it your way. And maybe that first step that you need to take in your life to start to do things his way is to admit to him that you're a sinner, ask him for forgiveness, and invite him to come into your heart, into your life. If you've never done it before, if you're here today, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and to forgive you and to give you a brand new life. If you've never done that before, I urge you to do that right now. Jesus is calling you. He's calling you to leave the mess, to leave the disappointment, to leave the heartbreak, and come after him. He's saying, take my burden on you because my burden is light. I'll take your heavy burden and you simply follow me. If that's you and that's what you want to do today, I just encourage you to pray a very simple prayer. Let this be the beginning of a beautiful relationship between you and Jesus. And pray this prayer and say, God, I know that I've messed up. I know that I can't do this on my own. And right now, the best that I know how, I invite you to come into my life and change it. I surrender my heart and I surrender my life to you. And in this moment, I give myself to you completely. My friend, if you prayed that prayer, if that's the desire of your heart, let me tell you what happens. First off, Jesus, who loves you more than anybody ever will, takes you by the hand and brings you into God's family. He gives you a home in heaven and he gives you his presence from now until eternity. And when you follow him, he will never, ever disappoint you. Maybe you're here today and there's been a place in your life where you've done that. You've made that decision. You said, God, I choose you. I want to live for you. But maybe that decision grew less and less important. Maybe other things have come up. Maybe you got really good at something. You found your area of expertise and you're like, God, step back. I got this. I know what I'm doing. And God is saying, no, you don't know what you're doing. And it's time for me to step in and take over. Maybe you find yourself in that place. And I invite you, I encourage you, let the prayer of your heart be, God, I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it your way. I surrender my will to you once again. And I ask you to forgive me for being selfish and prideful. Now help me live for you the way you want me to live. Guys, it is simple. It's not easy, but it is simple. Those are the choices before you. Give your heart to Jesus or follow Jesus. Pick up where you left off and follow Jesus. Those are your choices that are before you. And my friend, if you do that, God is going to give you what you need. God is going to give you everything you need. If you say no to that, if you refuse to do that, you're going to continue to struggle your way through life. You're going to continue to experience heartbreak and pain and disappointment and disillusionment. It's always going to be a part of your life as long as Jesus is not. So I urge you and encourage you, let that be the prayer of your heart. Follow after him. Turn your back on those two boats full of fish and say, Jesus, I'm ready to follow you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.